like to talk to you for a few moments from the subject, when mama prays. When mama prays. Here in our text, we are introduced to a woman named Hannah as the beginning of the backdrop of the life, purpose, and pilgrimage of a prophet named Samuel. In the text, Hannah is in a painful and pitiful predicament. She has a husband named Elkanah, and the Bible declares that Elkanah had two wives, Hannah and the other, Peninna. Now, Peninna was able to have children, but Hannah was barren because the Lord had closed up her womb. In that day and time, a woman who was barren was frowned upon and talked about, because one of the greatest things that a woman could have in that day was a child, and in more particular, a son. When a woman was barren in the biblical day, it was automatically thought and assumed that her barrenness was a result of God being angry, either with her or with someone in her family. So when a woman was barren, there was not much sympathy for her, but there was much gossip about her, because everybody was trying to figure out who made God mad enough that he would shut up her womb. And the Bible declares that Peninna would take every opportunity to throw it up in Hannah's face, that she could give Elkanah children and Hannah could not. Elkanah was well aware of this, and he tried to compensate for Hannah's barrenness by giving her a double portion of his wealth as proof and evidence of his love for her. But Peninna, she kept taunting Hannah in spite of what Elkanah was overcompensating for. Every year they would go up to the tabernacle for celebration. Hannah would be depressed because although Elkanah loved her, it was Peninna's children sitting on his lap and calling him daddy. Could you see in your mind's eye going through the same thing year after year without there ever seeming to be anything productive coming out of your life? Let's pause here for a moment to look more closely at this word barren. Not only does barren mean that a woman is incapable of producing offsprings, barren means being unproductive, unfruitful, not producing results, being fruitless. See, barrenness is not just a biological thing, but barrenness is a spiritual reality. You can be barren when you keep doing the same thing, looking for different results, but always coming up empty. Barren is when you try to do what you should do to get what you want to get, but every time you do what you should do to get what you want, you do the doing, but you don't get no getting. And I know that wasn't correct English. For example, you go on tons and tons and tons of job interviews, but you're still unemployed. Barrenness. How many of you can honestly say that there have been moments of barrenness in your life when you had been doing the thing that ought to work? You know beyond a shadow of a doubt that it should work, but you keep coming up on empty. You see, we must get rid of this barrenness that we so often experience and strive to become productive and fruitful. Our sister Hannah finally discovered the key to keeping our sanity, and it's very simple. You don't respond to people, but you take your barrenness to God. Woo. you don't respond to people. She could have went in Penina's face. She could have knocked her out. She could have cursed her out. She could have did all types of things. But she didn't. She took her barrenness to God. Because the text tells us that Hannah went to the temple. And I don't know about you, but if I could just make it into the presence of God. You see, for somebody on this morning, the devil made a major mistake of letting you get into the house of God this morning. Because if you can get your barren predicament into the presence of God, I believe that you will make it. Hallelujah. You've got to understand this. Everything that you need is in God's presence.
Amen.
If you need peace this morning, it's in God's presence. If you need deliverance this morning, it's in God's presence. If you need joy this morning, it's in God's presence. For my Bible tells me that in his presence, there is fullness of joy. And at thy right hand, there are pleasures evermore. Just let me get into God's presence. Hannah was so depressed that she could not even think. But there is a wonderful line in verse 9 that Dr. Jim Forbes has made very famous. And it says in verse 9, Hannah stood up. And I like how it says in the King James Version, for it says, so Hannah rose. Understand, she was depressed, but Hannah rose. She was disappointed, but Hannah rose. She was down and out, but she rose. She was worn out mentally, but Hannah rose. She felt like less than a woman, but she rose. See, if you can get up in spite of being down, getting up is a sign of making a conscious decision that whatever you are going through, it is not going to get the best of you. Getting up is making a statement to the devil that he has had his last day of messing up your life. He has had his last day of messing with your mind. Getting up is making a statement to yourself that you are no longer going to allow your context to have you handcuffed to helplessness and hopelessness. Do you know what happened the last time the devil saw someone got up on him? Do y'all remember? I want to call it a Calvary flashback. When he thought, y'all remember on Easter Sunday and I told you that story? Hallelujah, how they were celebrating. But Jesus came in and bust down the door, took the keys to death, hell, and the grave. So the devil is not trying to see you get up. Hallelujah. But I dare you to tell your neighbor, tell somebody that you need to get up because you're looking too depressed. Hallelujah. You need to get up. Don't have a pity party. You need to get up. Get up. Get up. So Hannah got up. And she went to the temple and she begins to pray. Now, how does all of this tie in with when mama prays? Well, you see, that's the sign of a godly mother. A godly mother believes in the power of prayer. Oh, that's when mama prays. And she is willing to pray for her family to the point of weeping before God. The heart of this entire story centers on Hannah's prayer. And God is so impressed with how she prayed that he tells us in great detail. We're told that she prayed with tears. She prayed with intensity. She prayed with purpose. She prayed believing. And God heard her prayer and gave her the desire of her heart. That's the way we need to learn how to pray. And when we do, God tells us in Psalms 37 and 4 that if you delight yourself in the Lord, he will give you the desires of your heart. This is what we've learned about Hannah's prayer. You must pray persistently. Hannah, she set her sights on praying for her son. She purposed in her heart to beg the Lord to give her this blessing. She was not going to be persuaded, even in the face of encouragement of a husband who loved her and saw her pain and expressed his love for her. And she persisted even in the face of persecution and ridicule from Peninnah. She would not be persuaded by the high priest, who thought she was drunk. Can you imagine? You're in here praying to God, and I come up to you and say, well, are you drunk? Her lesson to mothers and to all of us is to pray persistently. If God has laid something on your heart, then go for it. The Bible says that if we pray according to God's will, he hears and he grants what we have asked. Secondly, you must pray specifically. Hannah prayed for a son, but not just a son, but one who would grow up to be a servant of God. Mom and mom figures, are you praying specifically for your children to serve God?
Amen.
How about you dads? Are you praying that they will serve God in all circumstances? Are you praying that if they marry, it will be to a godly spouse who loves and serves Jesus with all their heart? Are you praying that your kids will be a blessing to all they meet? Mm-hmm. Hannah could have said, give me a son so I can be happy. Give me a son so my husband will be happy. Give me a son so I can shut the mouth of the other woman. Or she could have just said, just give me a son. But she went beyond that. She knew what she wanted and prayed specifically for it. And let me just interject right here. I'm going to tell on you, my husband. He prayed to God to send him a helpmeet, someone who loved to go to church, someone who was in the Word, and look who God sent, a pastor. So he tells that story all the time. I just wanted someone who, you know, just go to church, that will go to church with me. But now he gets a pastor. But she knew what she wanted and prayed specifically for it. Pray specifically for your children and what you want to see God do through them. One of the greatest gifts moms can give their children is their prayers. That God would transform them into someone God can use to affect others' eternity for Christ. I know that I have a praying mom. She's like the first person I put on speed dial. I need you to pray. Mommy, I'm going through. Yes, I still call mommy. Mommy, I'm going through this. It's like, I'm going to pray for you. She's always praying for us. And I know you moms out there, y'all are always praying for your children.
Amen. Amen.
Next, pray expectantly. Hannah's attitude was one of expectancy. She didn't feel that she was praying to a weak or powerless God. like the God of the nation surrounding Israel, she knew she was praying to the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, the one who had delivered Israel from the clutches of Pharaoh and brought them to the promised land. She knew that God was capable of bringing her request to fruition. So she prayed, expecting him to do it. Moms and dads, we've got to pray expecting God to do it. We can't have any doubt. Because if you have doubt, that means you don't believe. Right? Isn't that what doubt means?
That's right.
So when you pray for something, God, I need you to heal my child. My child is going through this. God, I'm standing on your word. You said if I ask anything in your name, that you would do it. You've got to believe and expect it to happen. God has given us so many promises. Lastly, pray with a glorified God mindset. Let's look back at verse 11. It says, O Lord Almighty, if you will only look upon your servant's misery and remember me, and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life, and no razor will ever be used on his head. Basically, Hannah said that I will give you the glory for granting this request of mine. In fact, I'll go so far as to give him back to you so he can serve you all the days of his life. Folks, let me ask you something. How often have you, like me, ask God for something, maybe even something huge? God grants it, and then after a quick thank you, we're moving on, all excited. We're forgetting to give God the glory and praise and thanks and telling others how God has moved on your behalf. We must give God the glory.
Amen.
As we conclude, mom and mom figures, you have an incredible, important role to play in the lives of those around you, especially in the lives of the children God has placed in your lives, whether through birth, adoption, fostering parent, through being a grandmother, an aunt, or just a good neighbor or family friend. Your influence is immeasurable, and I believe that if you will take the time to pray for the children in your life, like we've talked about today, then you can be instrumental in God working in those children for the glory of God and the advancement of his kingdom. Please, don't take that lightly. Your involvement and your prayers can make all the difference in a young person's eternal destiny. Be a part of that person coming to Jesus. That person will be grateful forever, and God will be glorified through it. Amen.
Amen.
Dear Lord, we thank you for this word this morning. Thank you for letting us know what happens when mama prays. Hallelujah. God, touch each and every person here. Not only mama, but daddies and everyone that's here in the congregation, the children. To let us know that we need to have a prayer life, that we need to commune with you. Be with us, O God. Bless us and we shall be blessed. Keep us and we shall be kept. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.